start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Rockingham's back, but is it ready for the next step? And is Homestead back and ready for the championship race? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Dustin Albino from JSki.com and Lewis Frank, the Reuters veteran.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Dustin and Lewis here. And I think the interesting news this week came from our friend Jordan Bianchi as he reports that he expects in the next couple of weeks, NASCAR is going to announce that Homestead is going to be the finale for 2026, which will then usher in a few years of a rotation of the new of the championship race, not knowing where it will go after Homestead. But this is something that we thought was going to be announced maybe a month or so ago, right before the Homestead race, Dustin, but it got postponed. But it sounds like maybe the city of Homestead and the state of Florida have kind of come to the hit the hip a little bit and offered the incentives and the improvements to the track that's the reason the race was in the spring this year. They're going to make this happen.
Yeah, I think you saw when the schedule was announced for this year, for 2025, that with Homestead being moved to March, that, you know, there's probably something in the works. So good news, I'm sure, across the board. Everyone loves Homestead. The racing there has been fantastic. Last year's playoff race was epic. So yeah, but it has to make financial sense too, right, for NASCAR. So it seems like it does. So hopefully we're there next year.
What do you think, Lewis?
Well, as a veteran, I was there for the first then Bush race. And Miami is great. Phoenix is pretty far outside of regular Phoenix or Scottsdale. So people want to party are going to probably like it too, because it's relatively close to Miami. As you said, there's been some great racing, you know, and again, over time, I think the track's been modified three times, maybe more, the configuration. So I think it's worthy. The weather will be good. And you have you get a different market there than you might get in Phoenix. So looking at the broad picture. So, you know, you don't want to get too set in your ways. You don't want to move Daytona's race or the race here in Charlotte. But the other races, I think it's good to mix it up sometimes.
Well, and I think it's not something that Phoenix has done wrong, Dustin. I think it's just an opportunity maybe to move it around a little bit. And I think that was the original concept behind having this championship race come down to one championship race, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we really haven't had it move around a bunch just between Homestead and Phoenix. But, you know, Phoenix, as Lewis mentioned, it is a little away from Phoenix proper out in Avondale, but it's a great event city. And that's what I'm curious about with Homestead, because in the past, right, like even this year, the attendance, I'm sure, you know, this will make it a destination race, the championship. So that is a thing to consider. But yeah, as far as Homestead, like, this is going to be well received in the garage. I'm sure it'll be a talking point this weekend at Talladega for sure. And yeah, if a rotation ends up happening, you know, if this is the beginning of a rotation, and then, you know, you only have really a select few tracks you can work with. So I'm sure Phoenix will be back in the fold, you know, in a few years or so.
And I want to talk about the fact that how limited it really is when you talk about the rotation, Lewis, but let's point out, you know, when we talk about upgrade the facility, we're not talking about changing the track this time. It's, you know, like redoing the garage area and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty old track, you know, as it goes. Look at what they did at Rockingham, which we'll get to. I was amazed, watch a little of it. So, yeah, it does need a refresh. The garages, they're not primitive, but, you know, they could use some modernization. Haven't been to Phoenix in a while, so I don't know. But those garages, the last time I was there a while ago, you know, so that's good. And of course, you have a different layout of the track, mile and a half versus a mile, so that changes up the racing, more tire possibilities.
Well, and I know that's a track, as you mentioned, Dustin, that the drivers and absolutely love. They feel like it's one of the more raceable tracks in NASCAR, and a lot of these guys talk about it, that it was a great place to have the championship decided, and I think they're going to love having it back there when the official announcement comes.
For sure. Yeah, it's a track where racers, and I don't mean any disrespect to Phoenix in this, because I think it's been a tremendous host track, as Lewis said, with, like, the garages. Like, they did $100-something million renovations of that place. Like it's fantastic. It's a fantastic event track. But with Homestead, it's different. The racing is different. Like Lewis said, a mile and a half compared to a mile. I'm sure Kyle Larson loves this. Tyler Reddick probably loves this. And so it's going to bring the best of the best. And it is a great track. It's the perfect track to have a championship race at.
Well, and the fans that go, good, Joey Logano won't win. Well, he won his first championship at Homestead. So there you go. Sorry about that. The thing is, you guys talked about it. And this is the thing. When NASCAR starts talking about a rotation of places you can go for championship races, because of weather, very simply, the rotation of the number of tracks you can include in this rotation is relatively small. I mean, Las Vegas, maybe Texas. I think Kansas would probably be outside of that. You know, that would be a very risky place to go. And then you start looking at, do you want to go to Talladega or do you want to go to Daytona, Atlanta maybe? And the thing is, now we're talking about Daytona, Talladega, and Atlanta are all somewhat wild card races because they all have kind of that super speedway feel to them now.
Yeah, Atlanta used to be the closing many years ago before the chase or whatever, the playoffs or whatever, name now. And once it was snowed out for a week at the March race.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're limited by weather where you can go. So, yeah, definitely New Hampshire and Watkins Glen are out also.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Hey, let's roll the dice. Why not?
Coda?
Watkins Glen? Sonoma would be an opportunity, but I don't know how well-received road course would be.
We did race, when was it, in 2001 after in New Hampshire after Thanksgiving. So yeah. You never know what you're going to get up here in the Northeast.
Yeah. Well, what would you like to see part of the rotation, Dustin, if you talk about that? Yeah, I did. Sonoma would be an opportunity. And if we can find someplace else in California to go, there would be an opportunity there. But I don't know that, you were looking at the Chicago street course, and that opens the door for possibility for other street courses in cities, which you could look at maybe someplace on the West Coast. A city, San Diego maybe on the West Coast, but do you want to have the season finale be a road course or a street course?
Yeah, and throw in the super speedway too, like you mentioned Daytona and Talladega. Like I don't never say never, but I would be stunned if the final race was ever on a road course or a super speedway.
Well,
me personally.
Riverside? Yeah. Riverside used to close the season
Sure. Before
most of you listening were born.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a different time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, keep in mind also that was a different point system too.
Yes.
It wasn't coming down to one race. It was still the cumulative point system.
Well, yes.
That's the thing to consider too, guys, is like, there's been all this talk about potentially a new playoff format for next year. So while Homestead might close the season, we might have a whole round a whole championship round. So, Phoenix still might be in there.
Ooh, Dustin throws a whole new wrench in the works, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm kind of like the ghost of David Poole, the former NASCAR writer in The Observer. Boy, yeah, they talk about Talladega as a wild card. To end the season at Talladega.
Yeah, let's watch this week and see how you feel about having that as a season finale when it's all said and done. I am not thrilled with the prospect of ending it at Daytona or Talladega. Atlanta, I would be... I maybe a little more amenable to, but still, I feel like there's so little that's in your control in those situations, Lewis, that I wouldn't be crazy about it. I'd be more amenable to a Texas or a Las Vegas.
Okay. 1.5 mile cookie cutters. We know how you feel.
Hey, it's the bread and butter, right, Dustin?
And it's what this car has performed the best on, right? Like all the drivers say it, all the intermediates. So, maybe not Texas, although I think Texas has been quite entertaining the last few years. And who knows what's going to happen there, if there is anything to happen at Texas in the next few years or so with a new layout or whatever. But yeah, Vegas, I think, is a place that should be in the rotation for sure. Me personally, I think, while everyone loves Homestead and it's a great track, I think Kansas is like the best track. But you are risking weather for sure in mid-November.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And we'll have to see. I'm sure NASCAR's got some ideas. I didn't mention, obviously, Coda is a place we run that you might not have the weather issues. But again, we're getting back into the road course situation. And if it's a one race championship, I don't see NASCAR into the season, as we've talked about, on a road course or a street course. I think there'd be much hue and cry from the masses.
Hue and cry. I know hue. Do you know cry, Dustin?
Hey, each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, where would you like the championship race to be? And your choices are Homestead, Las Vegas, Phoenix, or someplace else. Last week, we asked you, who has had the most impressive performance in recent weeks? You know, we had three straight weeks of guys with super impressive performances, and 65% of you said it was Kyle Larson at Bristol. 24% said it was William Byron at Darlington. Even though he didn't win, he had a very dominant performance. And only 12% said it was Denny Hamlin at Martinsville. I wonder how many of those were just, we hate Denny Hamlin, we're not voting for him. That could be. All right, when we come back, Rockingham back on the schedule. Now a lot of people think it needs to add a cup race. We'll find out what these guys think. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
By downloading the free PRN mobile app, you can listen to all of our live race broadcast anywhere. You'll also have easy access to all of our award-winning studio shows. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
On the inside, Byron in the middle, Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding, and Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the trouble. And a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with the Reuters veteran Lewis Frank and also Dustin Albino from JSki.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Well, Rockingham got a NASCAR car race back. They had trucks a few years back, but the first time they had cars on the track since the early 2000s, Lewis. The Xfinity Series, sellout crowd of 20,000. A lot of passing, a lot of moving back and forth. Cars going, you know, able to move around on the track. Couple of grooves. Lots of cautions.
Well, yeah, definitely on kind of Saturday's race, the truck race was kind of
reminiscent a little bit in the Xfinity race of Martinsville without the number of cautions without the aggressiveness. But it was at some points I wondered if the race was ever going to end. It finally did, but then, of course, the disqualification of Jesse Love and Sammy Smith ends up winning the race. But I think by and large, we're hearing a lot of positives from folks who were there about the experience of having racing back at Rockingham.
Yeah, I was watching local TV here in Charlotte. It's a little town, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like quintupled for the race. And
well, the track's 7 miles outside town. This is track 7 miles from anything.
But the thing is, there's a lot of people who like to drive to races. It's like the renewal of the short tracks, and we're going back to North Wilkesboro. And, you know, I'm not a rookie on this, so I like going back to legacy tracks. You know, it reminds me of that. And there seemed to be a lot of energy post and after the race. So I say try things. You know, because if you don't try things, you just don't know what's going to work. So they tried this. It's like, hey, they tried Chicago and everybody loves it. They tried North Wilkesboro. You know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect the same result, that's the definition of madness. So I applaud, keep trying new things or new old things.
Oh, we did. You know, again, from the people that were there, Dustin, we heard a lot of positives from the fans who were there. And the drivers who participated in the truck and the Xfinity race seemed to feel pretty good about the product they were able to put on too.
Yeah, the fans showed up in flocks too. I mean, you saw Saturday was sold out, Friday for the truck race and for Xfinity practice. There's a ton of people there as well. So that's all good signs for sure. So all I've heard is positive feedback, and there's definitely a place for Rockingham on the schedule somewhere, whether that's, I know we're probably going to talk about it, the Cup side, or if it, I always think it's better if it stays with the Xfinity than the truck side personally, because they don't really get many standalone races anymore. I mean, you think of the Xfinity series outside of Rockingham, it's just Portland this year out in the Pacific Northwest, which that's a market that, you know, NASCAR needs to be in some fashion. So yeah, I think having this as an Xfinity or a truck staple is perfect.
Yeah. Casey Kane came back to run it. I think that's terrific. Catherine Legg gave another try. The thing is, again, as you said, Dustin, as a one-off race, you can get some guest drivers or guest cup drivers to go, again, depending on the current cup rules. So it gives the fans who live there another chance to see the drivers they want to see, where they might be too expensive at other places.
Well, and that's an interesting thing. I mean, you sold the place out without any cup drivers. I mean, the cup drivers were off, and they took off. It was their only off weekend of the year, Dustin, and they said, race car? Nope. See ya. I'm out of here.
It's curious why I bring up that point, right? And if the fans continue showing up, like, say it's on the schedule again next year, obviously we're speaking in hyperbole right now, I guess. Hyperbolics is, like, we don't know the schedule yet, but it was a great showing. Ben Kennedy, I think, said to the Charlotte Observer last week that they're going to see how the weekend goes and then assess for next year or 2027 or whatever it might be, as far as potentially the Cup Series going there. So I do wonder how long that can stay. But if it's an off week from the Cup Series, it's perfect, I think.
Well, and that's the thing that I think people tend to overreact, Lewis. And
really?
They it's able to seat about 20,000, sold it out. But the first time around, there's always a level of excitement. And I'll be perfectly honest. I was at the last cup race at Rockingham. And there had been a lot of rumors. They'd already lost one date. And there were a lot of rumors that, you know, that NASCAR could pull a date. And I don't know that the folks in Rockingham necessarily took them seriously, or felt the need to get out and really support the race. And the contrast that with Darlington, which had already lost a race, and then NASCAR puts a race on Mother's Day weekend, which was basically, if you don't come, you know, we don't expect you to come support this, so we can take this race away too, and we'll shut the place down. And the NASCAR fans came out and in droves, sold the place out on Mother's Day weekend, which traditionally had been an off weekend.
Right.
And said, we sold the place out. So we dare you to shut this place down.
Yep.
And I mean, it was two separate incidences from two tracks pretty close together. And now we saw the Rockingham fans come out, sell the place out, 20,000 seats. Great crowd, but not a cup size crowd.
Yeah, 20,000, not a cup-sized crowd.
Let's see what happens, and this is my opinion. Let's see what happens next year, and if there's a third year. Because, yeah, the first time around, there's going to be excitement. Now can you generate the same level of excitement a second time and a third time?
You stole my line. I use the three-year rule on venues. If it's succeeding by the third year, it's done. I mean, and as you said, the first year, I'm trying to remember Chicago. I remember the rain. I wasn't there. But there was a lot of excitement. And the next year, you know, was pretty good. But yes, 20,000. And that's the reason it lost it. But the other thing, too, is self-fulfilling prophecies. When rumors flow out that the race is going, people change their plans. Again, NASCAR fans know when Daytona is. It's an appointment race. They know when Charlotte is. They know when the Darlington Southern 500 is, and they took that away too.
Oh, yeah.
So I like date equity, they used to call it. I don't know what they call it now, but I do like date equity, which goes against switching the finale. Okay, you know, you could call me. but in general, I prefer date equity.
Well, that's kind of gone out the window, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like the fact that the schedule isn't like it used to be, where you knew exactly where you're going to be each weekend. But, Dustin, as you look at it, and you know, are you on the same page with Lewis and I that the fact that let's see what happens a second year and a third year before we start rushing to put a cup race in there?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I will throw this out there because it is – similar in size to Bowman Gray and also North Wilkesboro. And obviously they both have exhibition races. So if we wanted to test it out that way, whether it probably wouldn't be the Clash, but maybe because it's, you know, it's at Bowman Gray now, or the also race, like I'd be cool with that just to see how it goes. But then that's another thing where, you know, all these tracks are within a certain, you know, a couple few hours of each other. So I do think there could be some oversaturation, specifically if you added this into the schedule that already has what, eight or nine races between that little region down there.
Well, and I think that's another consideration when you start looking at it that way. And that's something that NASCAR used to be in and spent the 80s busting out of.
Yep.
To become a truly national sport. And now you're talking about when it'd be an international sport. And within a 3-hour radius of Charlotte, you've got Darlington, Rockingham, Richmond, Martinsville, Bowman Gray, Bristol. Now, how many cup races do you want to run in that 3-hour window, especially if in North Wilkesboro, and, you know, and keep appealing to the same fan base when you're talking about we want to be an international sport and run in Mexico City and run in Canada and places like that?
Well, again, that's a whole other thing, international versus. But yes, NASCAR was built upon most of the races where you could drive to. People could afford all the things. They didn't have to stay overnight in expensive hotels sometimes. So this is something they're going to have to work out. The international, you know, you think of the NFL having the games in Great Britain and Germany last year. That's a whole thing. You know, I've covered F1 for many years, and that's entirely different. The IndyCar used to go to Australia as well as Canada, but that takes a whole new mindset. You also need local sponsors. I remember when the tobacco companies were battling out, you had Winston, R.J. Reynolds in NASCAR, and you had Philip Morris, Marlboro in IndyCar. I'd be in Surfers Paradise, Australia, and the cars were red and white for Penske because he had Marlboro, and there were no Marlboro people there because they didn't sell Marlboros in Australia. So that the marketing brings up even other problems. But you got to weigh... you got to be loyal to your base, because if you're not loyal to your base, they go away, which we have seen. So you got to balance being loyal to your base and then looking for new markets to expand. You cannot ignore either. And that's a delicate balance.
Yeah. And I think that's something, and you're nodding, I know, Dustin, that's something NASCAR's got to deal with right now, especially, you know, for the fans that are looking at all of a sudden, let's put a cup race back in Rockingham now. No, I think let's you know, tap the brake pedal just a little bit.
And you look up all those tracks that are within that 3-4 hour, you know, radius of Charlotte. And I look at, I'm not saying like, I don't want this, but let me make that clear. But like you take away a race at Bristol, right? And then people are probably going to want to go to the other race. I'm bringing that up because you look at like Pocono, right? Like I grew up going to Pocono my whole life. they two races, you know, they used to be able to get a lot of people, but then over the time, those people went away and they would spread out over the two races, and now it's down to one, and they might not sell the place out, but it's pretty damn close. And the infield's packed, and there's so many tracks like that around the circuit now that has just the one race. New Hampshire, that's another one. Dover. I mean, there's a lot of them. So less is more sometimes.
When we come back, some new nominees for the Hall of Fame, which will be voted on in May. We'll talk about those guys when we come back.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmy Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmy Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. Very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Lewis Frank and Dustin Albino are here. Glad to have you with us. Let's talk about the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Has revealed the 15 nominees for its class of 2026, which will be voted on May the 20th. New additions to the ballot include Kurt Busch, former Cup champion, of course, and Randy LaJoie, who was a multi-time Xfinity Series champion. For the Pioneer ballot, Jake Elder, former crew chief, won three titles. He was on the ballot at one point, fell off the ballot. Now he's back on the ballot for the Pioneer ballot. And then longtime Charlotte Motor Speedway president Humpy Wheeler is on the ballot for the Landmark Award. But Dustin, get your thoughts on the latest nominees.
Well, there's some great new additions to the ballot for sure. You look at Kurt Busch, obviously, you know, he won 30 something races. He's a Cup champion and in my opinion, takes up a spot right away. I think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer personally. And maybe that is a little bit of recency bias. I covered Kurt for a while, the latter part of his career and just, he gave us so many Hall of Fame moments too, whether it's on the track or on the radio,
in the garage.
Hall of Fame moments on the radio, none of which can be aired.
He made our job easier. But yeah, these are some great new additions. Randy LaJoie, like you said, multiple time Busch Xfinity champion. Jake Elder, yeah, three-time champion. So I think this is a pretty good list. And I don't know if we're going to get into like who we would think, but I mean, I think Kurt's in personally.
Well, you talk about Kurt Busch, 34-time winner in the Cup Series and a champion. Randy LaJoy had 15 wins over 350 starts and a couple of championships. He also was the championship of the former Busch North Series, and he also now is an innovator in the seat technology and has got a company that sells seats. He will join, and these are the returning members on the ballot this year, Greg Biffle, Neil Bonnett, Tim Brewer, Jeff Burton, Randy Dorton, Harry Gant, Harry Hyde, and Jack Sprague.
Wow, that's a lot of competition.
So two of those gentlemen will be voted into the Hall.
Lot of competition. Listen, when it comes to Jake Elder, hey, you inspire a role played by Robert Duvall in Days of Thunder. That counts for extra points. I saw Kurt test an Indy car with no practice. I mean, the Busch brothers, and I'll deny if I say about Kyle, but they're the most talented drivers, the best car control I have seen in stock cars. And what else? Humpy. What a promoter. He would come to this track here, and he had $1 million bills made out, Humpy money, and he would hand it to people, and people would look at it like $1 million. But the invasion of Grenada, he recreated that with parachutists. This he was a showman. He understood people come for a show and a car race. And people came for the pre-race, became a noun instead of an adjective, pre and race. So a very interesting guy.
Yeah, Jake Elder got the nickname Suitcase Jake because he moved around so much between different teams. He had 44 wins, 3 Cup Series championships. He'll be on the ballot with Ray Hendrick, Banjo Matthews, Larry Phillips, and Bob Welborn. And then, of course, Humpy Wheeler, as you talked about, president, general manager, Charlotte Motor Speedway. He is on the landmark ballot along with Alvin Hawkins, Lisa France Kennedy, Dr. Joseph Mattioli, and Les Richter. They're the nominees, but... As you talk about Humpy, of course, I knew extremely well being in Charlotte for that many years. And it was interesting. The first time I ever met Humpy, and this, Dustin, you'll find this, I'm sure, nodding your head. He said, the first thing you do when you take over a track is you clean up the ladies' rooms. he says, number one on a ladies' list is a clean restroom. And if the wife is more willing to come to the track, it's a lot easier for the husband to come to the track. And he also said to me, and this is in 1980, he says his dream was to figure out how to light a super speedway.
Yes.
And generate the same type of excitement you had at like at LSU football games. And in the mid 1980s, they figured out how to do it.
I got to correct myself. It was Harry Hogg, played by Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
So don't at me on Twitter.
Okay.
I corrected myself.
You did correct yourself. Dustin, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, this whole list is interesting. Like you mentioned with Jake, like coming on and off and now back on the ballot. We haven't seen much of that. And very deserving of being on the ballot. Excuse me. And then you got, you know, Ray Hendrick won over 700 modified and sportsman races. Like, if we want to honor the local racers, like, he fits the bill. Banjo Matthews, he built winners of Cup Series cars for over 250, you know, different times that they visit Victory Lane. So, I mean, it's a stacked Pioneer ballot, Landmark Award ballot. I mean, everything across the board. So I think this is a pretty good, some of the names might not jump off the page like, oh, they should be in the Hall of Fame, first ballot, something, whatever. But if you look at it and you break it down, and I have one, this isn't the Hall of Stats, right? Like, I'm a big stats guy. Like, I think Kurt should be in because he's a first, you know, he's the champion. Is he the only champion on the list? I think so, at least from a driver's standpoint. That should get him in, but it might not. You know, the other guys that have been on the ballot and haven't gotten any, like a Jeff Burton, Harry Hyde, Harry Gant. So it is a lot of competition this year.
Yeah, you know, of course, you talk about the Landmark Award. You know, Elisa France Kennedy is Bill Jr.'s daughter. Dr. Joe Mattioli ran Pocono forever.
Built it, and ran it.
And so, Les Richter was one of the right-hand men at NASCAR for years and years and years.
Riverside and Fontana and the IROC race.
Yeah.
He was involved in all that. Coach, he was USC?
South Carolina? That USC, wasn't it?
The other USC on the left coast.
Yeah, I mean, so you look at it, and certainly all deserving. It's going to be interesting to see on the 20th of May who the voters come up with. And you'll have four new inductees coming up, and they'll be announced just about a little over 3 weeks from now. So very deserving. And well, you know, Kurt Busch, for instance, every champion who has been eligible is in. Every cup champion who has been eligible is now in. So we'll see how that plays out. When we come back, some guys got some work to do as they come back to work in a cup series. We'll talk about them and see who can climb out of that slump they've been in. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org. We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Race fans, head over to EchoPark.com/Speedway and you can enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit EchoPark.com/Speedway now to drive off a winner. And we're welcoming back along with Dustin Albino from JSK.com. Lewis Frank, the Reuters veteran, is here as well as we head back to work in the Cup Series, Lewis.
Yes.
Some guys got some work to do, but Ty Gibbs did show that if you get a run or two, a really good run or two, you can jump yourself pretty good in the standings. All of a sudden, he's 20th in the standings and moving up, and he can almost see the playoffs. Look, they're right there. They're right there. But you got guys, I mean, this is the kind of week Brad Keselowski really needs a good run, and he is good at Talladega.
6 wins, but a long time ago.
This is a team that just absolutely has baffled me this year.
Yeah, they were improving every year, like incrementally. And so far, it's only been 9 races, but that's still a lot of races. My homework involves Penske, who are very competitive, but don't close. You got Joey and Ryan Blaney are in the top 10. So I know you're going to ask me, so I'm just going to jump. My pick is Ryan Blaney to win Talladega, by the way.
Okay.
and break the bad luck. I mean, they haven't done anything really wrong. And I think Kyle's had 2 or 3 mechanical issues this year, not of his fault. And Joey, too, has been strong. And also, Ricky Stenhouse is a real power. Hayek, is that how you pronounce the team now?
Yep.
Stenhouse is pretty strong at Talladega. So I wouldn't call him a dark horse.
No, absolutely. Yeah, he's always strong at those kind of tracks.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, you look at RFK and you've had some, you know, I think Ryan Preece has been surprisingly good this year, Dustin. And, you know, Busch has had some good runs. But the fact that you've got Keselowski sitting back there 31st in points with just, and he's got two DNFs, no top 10s. I just, to me, it's just absolutely baffling.
And, you know, I'm going to bring up some more stats. Like, this goes back even further than this year. If you go back to Sonoma, which was 30 races ago at the end of last year, or at the middle of last year, he has two top fives in the last 30 races. One of them was Talladega, which is a runner-up finish. He finished second in both races here last year. So that does, you know, probably give him a little bit of confidence. He's not good here. He's great. You know, he's tied for second on the all-time wins list at this track. That probably gives him a little bit of confidence. He's working with a guy that's, you know, he's a familiar voice in his ear with Penske when he was at Penske with Jeremy Bullins. But this slump has been more than just this year. And that's the concerning part, because like you brought up Ryan Preece. He's had he's done better than I thought he would, you know, at least to start the year. I thought maybe as the year goes on, he'd find a home, he'd build a foundation. And then towards the end of the year, kind of like last year with the 41 team, he hits on it and he just gets better and better and better. But this year he's been really good. Same with Buescher. So the disparity between those two and the six cars is kind of baffling.
Yeah. And then, you know, you look at Kyle Busch, you know, didn't win at all last year, obviously, which became a big story. He's got four top tens this year, but he's sitting back there 15th in points. And again, RCR, just, you know, he's the best RCR team out there right now.
Yeah. You know, when Tyler Reddick was there, they were winning races. So I don't know what happened to the magic sauce, but whatever they had, maybe it was Tyler. And I don't know what to say about Childress other than, you know, they have fallen off a standard they said is near as like two and a half years ago, I guess you'd call it.
I mean, they made a lot of changes in the offseason, Dustin, and so far we're not seeing the fruits of that labor pay off.
Gives me a little slimmer confidence, I guess, with RCR is their affiliate teams are running decent, like Ross Chastain. Trackhouse, that's another story. Like, they haven't had a ton of speed, but Ross, as he's done the last few years, has just manhandled these finishes at the end of the races. But AJ Allmendinger, he's 2 points behind Kyle. And I thought, you know, I think he's had a great start to the year for what colleague was at last year. So that's obviously, you know, affiliate and alliance team to RCR. And the eight teams left a lot of points on the table. You know, Vegas, he had a chance to win that race and he had a wheel come off early. That's just a mistake you can't make. We've seen a lot of teams make them, but you can't make them if you're going to win. So there is a little optimism, I think, with the eight team, but they got to get going.
Finally, I want to talk about Shane Van Gisbergen. You know, he had some good runs. Obviously, won three times in the Xfinity Series last year, all on road courses. But you heard a lot of people talk about how quickly he would adapt to a new track and learn, you know, on the ovals. But this year, we're just not seeing it. Were our expectations for him to adapt quickly too high, Lewis? Because he's sitting right now 34th in points.
Yeah, probably that win at Chicago, you know, put people, and that's not an indicator of NASCAR races. That was some people just don't adapt. I'm thinking of Sam Hornish Jr., who could do anything in an Indy car, and he won in Xfinity. Put him in a Cup car, and he didn't quite make that jump. And that might be Shane Van Gisberg. He's not a kid, okay? But sometimes it takes time, and so might be too early to you know, render a verdict on him. But I think that it's not always you can judge how a Cup driver will be from their Xfinity experience. And the switch from road courses to ovals in stock cars is huge now. It's bigger than ever.
How do you see SVG, Dustin?
Yeah, I mean, it's road course or bust at this point. And I do think there's a conversation, like right now, like you said, he's 34th in points. Harrison Burton was around there last year when he won at Daytona. And, you know, there was an uproar about him being in the playoffs. Well, there's a good chance I'm not going to say there's 100% chance because that's, you know, there's no guarantees in racing, but there's a chance he's going to win one of these road courses and get in the playoffs anyways. Now with SVG specifically, I alluded to the Trackhouse, not downturn, but like it's been a year or so now where they've just, and Ross Chastain alluded to this a couple weeks ago, like where they've just struggled. Their speed isn't there like it was in 2022 when, you know, both of them, both being Suarez and Chastain, were winning races. You know, Daniel Suarez, a lot of pressure on him, and he's not lighting the world on fire either. He's another team that's left a lot of points out there. So, with SVG, I do think there's, you know, you look at his stats last year, there's a few top 20s in limited starts. So there is optimism, I think, there. But there's, when you make that jump and you have limited experience as it is in stock cars, when you make that jump from Xfinity Cup, I mean, you're drinking through a fire hose.
Absolutely. When we come back, Talladega's up this week, and it may be the last good chance for a lot of people to pick up wins. Stay with us.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. 800-610-2650. That's 800-610-2650.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Reuters veteran Lewis Frank, also Dustin Albino from JSki.com, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Lewis, this week, Talladega. But, you know, at the start of the season, people always say, we'll know what we have by Charlotte. Now, after they leave Talladega this week, you got Texas, mile and a half, Kansas, mile and a half, the All-Star Race, we'll forget about that, Charlotte, mile and a half, Nashville, mile and a third, and then Michigan, 2 mile track. Talladega is going to be the last chance for somebody to really pick up a win if they don't have their intermediate track program in order.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and you may get 14 or 15 cautions at the end.
Yeah.
For that. Forget the big one, which is cliche, but that's going to happen. We know that. But I think a lot of teams are going to have to throw everything up against whatever you throw against and whatever you throw with. Because if you don't have your intermediate track set up by now, I don't think you're going to do it with race after race after race. They're coming too fast behind each other to make a big swing later, you know, as you get through this period.
Does that mean we're going to see maybe some teams that, you know, have seen like at Darlington, or, you know, a couple of weeks before that, maybe at Homestead, Miami, or Las Vegas, that they feel like, Dustin, that they don't have, or maybe that they're a little bit behind in their intermediate track program. Did they become a little more desperate this week?
Yeah, I think desperation is going to be on high alert this weekend here at Talladega. And I say that because, you know, you brought up how we have three intermediate races right up after this, you know, excluding the All-Star race. You know, we, and yes, Homestead and Darlington are, you know, considered intermediates, but they're very line sensitive. Darlington, as we saw, like, you know, really there's only one in barely a second line. But a lot of these tracks coming up, like Kansas, Charlotte, there's multiple grooves, and really we don't have much to gauge off so far from this year, aside from Las Vegas. And that was a bizarre race in itself. So I really don't know what we know about the teams yet this year, like about you know, who's good, who's doing bad. Obviously, look at the point standings, and some teams haven't capitalized, like the 6 team, the 8 team. So yes, I do think desperation will be very high this weekend.
Whenever desperation is high, especially like a place like Talladega, that means they're not going to want to sit around back and ride around.
No,
and sometimes riding around is probably the best thing you can do.
Yeah, I mean a lot of drivers, you know. You can, it's hard to choose to run at the back, but sometimes running at the back of the pack may be a safe place. But it's going to come down to, you know, the third stage. You know, I think it's just going to be fast in the first stage. Second stage, people are going to start feeling stuff. In the third stage, I'm covering my eyes if you're not watching this on internet.
How important do you think stage points are going to become for some of these guys, Dustin?
I mean, you look at the putt line and who's below it, you need to score stage points. Stage points just separate the teams and the teams that are, you know, the good teams and the teams that are average, and then the teams that, you know, need to do some work. And I look at the top seven in the standings, for instance, right? That's the same top seven that finished the regular season last year as the top seven. So, like, those are the good teams, I would say. Those are the elite teams. There's obviously other good teams. But yeah, as far as stage points, I mean, this is a great week for a smaller team like Hayek with Ricky Stenhouse, who's, you know, an elite super speedway racer. AJ Allmendinger, who's, you know, an underrated super speedway racer. For guys like that to, you know, chip into the bubble and potentially make a swing of it in the final stage.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. William Byron's got 90 stage points this year. You know, and then you looked at 92 for Ryan Blaney. And then you look at Kyle Busch. 16 stage points.
Yeah. His work is cut out for him.
And all of a sudden that becomes crucial. So I tell you, as you start thinking about Talladega this week, some guys are going to have to be aggressive and have to be aggressive early.
You think early. I think late.
If you want the stage points, you got to get up there early, or it puts a premium on qualifying.
Yeah. Now so in the closing laps of a stage, sure. But you still got to have a car at the end.
And that brings the point there, because, you know, obviously we've all seen how super speed racing is there's a focal point now in fuel mileage. So there might be some riding around, but even riding around in this car we've seen is 3, sometimes 4 wide. So, I mean, anything can happen when you're going 190 miles per hour, you know, at 4 wide. Yes, while they might be riding around and saving towards the end of the stage, anything can happen at any time here. In the fall, we saw the largest wreck in NASCAR history. I think it was 27 or 29 cars. Like, that's a mess. So, this should be a fun weekend.
Was fun.
Was it one particularly tall driver involved in that? I'm not saying his name.
Particularly tall. All right. When we come back, white flag laps. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back. It's time now for our white flag laps. And first up, the Reuters veteran, Lewis Frank.
Yeah, you know, years ago, we used to talk about mulligans in the championship. I don't think there's mulligans anymore. The season has started. We talked about the points. Every race now counts even more than it. You just can't say there's 36 points paying races and we'll divide them up and wins. Every race, every position now is crucial. So I'm not going to be in Alabama, but I'm going to have my popcorn out and a non-adult beverage so I can get through the whole race and see what happens there. And as I said, it's time for the Penske luck. Whatever dark cloud has been following Ryan Blaney, I think he will be your winner there at Talladega.
And you'll be listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, won't you?
Yeah. Okay, I remember them.
All right, let's go back to Dustin Albino.
Yeah, I teased my winner earlier, but I got Austin Cindric this weekend, Rob Blaney's teammate. We talked about how cool it was for Xfinity, the Truck Series, to go to Rockingham. So I just wanted to highlight some of the smaller teams that did well over the weekend. You had Alpha Prime Racing get two top fives for the first time in team history. AM Racing with Harrison Burton, we've seen that, you know, pay dividends, them going to get a former Cup driver. He finished third, the best finish in team history. And then Casey Kane, we brought it back. Obviously not an underdog with Richard Childress Racing, but great to see Casey back at the track and hope to see him again.
Well, don't forget that Tyler Ankrum got a win to break a long winless streak.
The longest winless streak.
Well, we talked about Rockingham earlier, and what a successful weekend. It was good to see a full house at Rockingham. Yeah, it was just 20,000, but you know what? A full house is a full house, and it always looks good on television. And that's the key. Perception is reality. But for anybody now saying, oh, it's time to bring a Cup Series race to Rockingham, as we said, tap the brakes just a little bit. Right now, within 3 hours of Charlotte, there are 9 Cup races. 9. 2 exhibition races, and then the Xfinity and Truck race at Rockingham. That's a lot of races in a small area. And it used to be that way back in the early 80s. And NASCAR wanted to break out of that little bubble and become more of a national sport. Now NASCAR's talking about being an international sport. Let's see what year two looks like at Rockingham, if there's a year two, and we expect there will be, and what year three looks like. And if they continue to get support like that and can add stands and add the facilities that you need to add when you start adding stands, because you can't just add stands. You have to add more to go with it. More areas for parking, more bathrooms, things like that. Then you can start to look at possibly bringing Cup back to Rockingham. But we're a long way from that at this point in time. Enjoy the success they had before you start dreaming bigger and bigger and bigger. Dustin, thanks a lot. Lewis, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.